coming up on TMS, done with a Marvel.
Here we go, a floundering.
Why isn't he called He-Hulk?
Going down a monkey hole.
Talking a stand.
Marv Stone, action journalist.
Fish and chips, or extra fish and chips.
Buster Keaton was alive.
White man combo meal problems.
Benedict Ratzenberger.
Deny that, you can't.
It doesn't suck, until it does.
Sampling Jane's fudge.
TMS suggests you do your own research.
Full-throated southern accents with Amy.
Jumping off a cliff with Wendy, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Eddie and Ray are friends. That's why Ray's walking his bike instead of riding home, so he can be with his friend Eddie. Here's Jane. She's a friend. And guess what? She's going home to make some fudge. And she's inviting the fellows to come over later and sample it. Yes, sir, friendships are worth having, aren't they?
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream, because knowing is half the battle.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Thursday, May 19th, 1919, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. It's Thursday.
It is,
woo,
man.
We're on the downslope of the week.
Yep. I got one more. Let's see. What, about 24, no, about 30 hours till my wife gets back, so.
Oh my gosh, I bet you're counting down. This is a long time for her to be away, because this is like a solid full week, right?
Yeah, a whole 7 days, and she, I was talking to her yesterday, they went floundering last night in the the dark glow.
I do that anytime I podcast.
They went a floundering, which basically means they walk around the beaches of Bay St. Louis and catch flounder.
Really?
And you bring it back, and those cook up real nice and have a nice little flounder dinner thing. Yeah. It's all been about, like, getting back to their southern roots. This is all the siblings went. All the husbands and wives all stayed home. So these are just a sibling trip. And all they've done is, like, crab and have a big crawfish boil and go pontoon boating and...
She is going to come back with so many yummy recipes. I'm envious of the food that you're going to be enjoying over, you know, the next several months. Like
either that or she'll be sick of it, right? She'll be coming back. Oh, I can't do something. Oh,
possibly, yeah. Yeah,
which would really suck because I want to benefit from her exit. Anyway, that'll be...
Hello, Jamie, that one's for you.
That one's here for you, buddy. All right, we're going to start things off today with something that I hesitated as to whether I should share it or not, but I've decided I think it's the right place to do it. Also, I don't know for sure if this person's serious because it's the internet and I don't know anymore. I can't tell anymore if anyone's ever serious anymore.
Yeah.
So,
I hope this is serious because I want to.
I do too. I hope they write back. I don't even know what shows they listen to. I assume they listen to this one, but here's what they wrote. I crossed their name out. I'm not here to smear anybody's name.
I know. It's very nice of you.
Here's what they say. I'm done with Marvel, I think. Suddenly the Hulk is a girl now? ? Oh no, I should read this exactly how it was written. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm done with a Marvel, I think.
Oh, with a Marvel.
Yeah.
I think.
Suddenly the Hulk is a girl now? ? Enough is enough. Capital or lowercase W. Will you be talking a stand on your shows about this? I assume he means taking.
Uh-huh.
Or letting it slide like other woke things. Signed, Anonymous. All right.
The typos definitely make me feel like this is a serious email. Like there is nothing...
Yeah, why would they do that if they were... Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell. But okay, so let's just take issue with the whole with the claim. Suddenly the Hulk is a girl now. I assume this is referencing She-Hulk's trailer, She-Hulk Attorney at Law, which they showed off for Disney Plus, the new series.
I'm excited about that. Like the trailer,
they look great.
I was really wondering how they're going to do. There's just one point where it's like, oh, is that Shrek? Am I looking at Shrek there?
A little bit of Shrekin' going on.
Little bit of Shrekin', but no, Tatiana Maslany is going to make a great Jennifer Walter?
Jennifer Walters. Why am I thinking? Is it S?
Yeah, right. Because I'm thinking, right. I don't want to confuse her with Jessica Walters, the late, great Jessica Walters. Jennifer Walters.
Yeah, I think that's it. Now, I'm going to argue that this person who sent this message maybe didn't see the full trailer because in the trailer, the Hulk is in the trailer.
sure.
The actual, you know, Bruce Banner business.
Right. Well, I'm also thinking that they're unaware of the last 40 years of Marvel history where there's been a She-Hulk.
Well, that part I am 100% sure 40, of.
40, yes.
Yeah, 80-something, right? Early 80s for her? For
I think 80. I think 1980. Jim okay. Starlin created her? I
think so.
Oh, I could be wrong.
Or was that a late Stan Lee edition, maybe? I can't remember. I'll have to look right here.
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying. Created by Stan Lee and John Buscema. Yep.
Okay, there it is. Right. Let's see. And you were right about the year, 1980. So the Savage She-Hulk number one is where we first saw her in 1980.
Right.
And, I mean, were there people then that saw the cover and went, did the Hulk transition?
She-Hulk is a girl now?
Yeah, what happens? A transition going on? I'm going to boycott Marvel for... Did that happen then?
No,
or are we only that stupid now? Is that how stupid we are now? Is the question.
Yeah. That's well said. That's how stupid we are now.
Because this person, I mean, if they'd watched the trailer or gave a crap, they would have seen, there's Mark Ruffalo playing the role of the Hulk, and he's talking to this other person who's clearly not him, and just a big giant D-U-H. I don't know what else to say.
Big fat duh.
I have nothing else to say. I don't know what to say if this guy's listening. I don't know if you're serious.
We should take a stand, or we should talk a stand, Scott.
All right, let's talk a stand right now.
Because I don't want to let this slide like the other woke things.
Let it slide. Here's
next
my stand.
Tell me they're going to make a black Spider-Man. I'm done.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll bet that dude probably thought that too when he saw Miles Morales and went, what? They made Spider-Man black?
There's a Spider-Woman now? Oh, I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say. Because I really feel this lately. I feel this thing
this
of like...
this person's really going to poop when they see Thor Love and Thunder. Oh,
they'll lose their minds. Yeah, watch that trailer. You want to see who Thor is? I don't want to give anything away here, but... but no, like... I can't tell... where the irony is over. Parody is gone. I can't tell anymore. This person might be totally yanking my chain.
Could totally be, yes.
I don't know. But also, I could see somebody saying this because everyone's stupid now. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take it except to say, do a little research. If you're hearing us talk and you're serious about this, go read up on the history of She-Hulk. A really great recent run of that comic happened, and I cannot remember who wrote it or who drew it. But it's amazing. It's very good. My guess is that the tone of the trailer reminded me of that read.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I think they're probably pulling from that, kind of like the Matt Fraction stuff heavily influenced the Hawkeye TV show. So I think they're pulling from that more recent thing. Anyway, and learn maybe. Go learn. Do some learning.
Yeah. Do a little research. Find out that, this has been around for a while. She's a cousin. There's something actually more to this than just... woke things.
Yeah, woke things, as he says. Also, turn on auto correction in your browser. Because a lot of these would have had a little red online.
Talking is a word, and done with a Marvel. I mean, none of these would have been caught by spell checker.
Grammar checker. Don't you get? You should get a little green line under everything. Is what you should get.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, Grammarly. Yeah. They were a sponsor for a while. Grammarly.
Oh yeah, Grammarly. What happened to them? They're around, right? Yeah.
I think they're still there.
Yeah. I think you can still install their little deal and do their stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, She-Hulk. A long history that this guy didn't know. Right. I recommend he learn. Okay. All right. I didn't know she was a member of the Fantastic Four for a while.
She was one of those great costumes. She was in that in the era of the Fantastic Four where they had the light blue and white costumes.
Yeah.
They were kind of cool. As a matter of fact, the She-Hulk mini that I painted is wearing that costume, I believe, or a version of that costume.
So did that mean that there was someone else in the Fantastic Four that was sidelined? So
Thing was out for a while, so She-Hulk.
Okay,
in.
And they'll never have more than four is the rule.
I want to say Ben Grimm had gone back to human form and was palling around with Alicia Masters for a while, and so She-Hulk came in and
What do you think? Okay, so one of the problems people seem to be having with this is that she's not Hulky enough.
Right.
And my experience with She-Hulk has always been she was never she was never she was, just shredded.
Yeah,
the
she
way.
Was never built like right. She was never built like Mrs. Shrek.
Right. And she also didn't go extreme like, you know, how the Hulk loses his mind and can't even hardly talk in the beginning right. and eventually can right. say words. And then, you know, if you follow the MCU, there's a whole thing there. But the beginnings are all, and, you know, smash is the biggest word, you know. But in her case, she didn't lose any of her like.
No, she still has all of her intelligence and wherewithal. Like she still, you know, she still gets angry. And also for a while, she just couldn't. She couldn't change back, right? Like she was always in She-Hulk form and mm-hmm. wouldn't like shrink back down to normal. So she would do her lawyer things as She-Hulk. She would be a lawyer. She'd be in court
mm-hmm.
Doing lawyer things.
Doing lawyer things like Ally McBeal, but green. That's how she did
right,
it.
Right, exactly. Yes, yeah. exactly.
And I hope exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
What I hope is they focus, because this last, the run I read, what made the comic good wasn't that she turned green and kicked ass.
Right.
Was that she was just a really kick-butt lawyer, and everybody had to kind of deal with the fact that she's strong, tall, and green, but really smart, her cross-examinations. Like, it was more of a courtroom drama, that comic.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hope that's mm-hmm. what they do here. Like, I know fans are going to want smash and kick butts.
Yeah, you're going to want both. I mean, we don't need another Boston Legal or something just with one of the characters happen to be big and green.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But no, I mean, we want, you know, I don't know who the... I saw the little snippet of who I think is a villain guy, but I couldn't tell... I don't know who the Marvel bad is going to be in this one, right? Like, you know, we had... we've had Kingpin. We've had.
What would you assume? Like, do you have any guesses what they'll do? Like who they'll tap for that?
No, I don't. Well, you do see a little bit of the Abomination in the trailer.
Oh, right. And what's his name's in it?
Like a little Emil Blonsky. Yeah. What's his face?
Pulp Fiction guy. Tim Roth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Tim Roth. And he was that in something. Was it the Hulk movie?
He was in Shang-Chi. We saw Abomination recently.
Oh, okay.
But not Tim. When we saw, you know, full anger Abomination, not we didn't see Tim Roth in there. But
some reason, Tim Roth, I thought, was already shown off as something, or he was teased in another thing. But maybe I don't remember. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, anyway, watch for that.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Oh, Joe Guy Art says it's Titania. Oh, that's right. That's right, because she's played by, oh, shoot, who, now that you say that, or Titania, I don't know how,
Titania. Sounds like something my car is made out of.
Let's see, and Wong is going to be in this, probably.
Oh, yeah, Benedict Wong is in it.
He
straight up is. Like, that guy is now
is.
Everywhere.
I'm telling you, was it this show where I said my theory is that he's going to be the Nick Fury of... The new phase, the new Avengers phase.
Like I think
he's
going right.
to be the one that gathers Avengers together.
Feels like it. Maybe he'll be the one that rescues the Nick Fury from wherever the hell he's stuck right now. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's some things I haven't seen here. So I probably wouldn't know the answer to that.
Played by, Jamila Jamil from the good Place.
Oh, yeah. She's good. She's great.
She's great. Yeah.
Well, I'm all in for all of this. I think it sounds like a good time. The trailer made me happy. Well, here's the only other thing to say. This guy, if you hear this, and this teaches you something, send us a follow up. I'm open to it. You know,
right?
You sound like maybe you're a little bit, you're playing some team sports here, and that's fine. Everybody's got their weird thing they glom onto, and all their little favorite words that everyone says, and all that. I don't want to judge you too harshly because I don't know you, but I'd love to hear your, now what do you say? Now that we've fed you the information that is actually correct about She-Hulk and her
history. He's going to email and say, you know what? You guys are absolutely right. I'm sorry. I've installed a grammar checker on my browser and I'm back to loving Marvel. And thank you guys for opening my eyes. Please, more woke things.
Yep, I'm sure that's it.
That's going to be the email we're going to get.
I'm sure that's it. I will take
woke
look
things.
I will talk a stand right now on the show. You ready? Here's my stand.
All right, please talk a stand.
She-Hulk is
stand.
Taco stand. She-Hulk is cool. Scott is I'll talk to myself in the third person. Scott is happy that Marvel is doing things side weird low-key things. Mm-hmm. I don't mean low-key things. With the MCU right now. Like they're not like just going, and the next Captain America is, like they're taking their time. Right. They're doing fun little sidey things. And I like that. Even though I'm not caught up on all of it, I think it's a really cool way to do this. So
I agree. And since we got, because we recently got a Ms. Marvel trailer as well, with the Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
Are those two shows going to be, are we going to get to a point where Disney is airing two Marvel shows at the same time?
Oh my gosh.
Usually we don't get the trailer for one until the other one's done, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Plus you're going to run, I think there's some crossover on the Star Wars side with Kenobi and...
What? Ms. Marvel's going to appear in Kenobi?
No. I'm no, kidding. But this yeah, idea maybe. That they cross over stuff, yeah. I feel like they're stacking their deck this year. They got a lot going on.
Although I guess the Obi-Wan stuff doesn't take place in the same time frame as the Mandalorian and Boba Fett stuff.
No, but the Ahsoka stuff does or would. Not necessarily. I don't know. Are they doing prequel crap with the Ahsoka character or Ahsoka character? Have you said her name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
Because she was there all along.
Well, they wouldn't be able to use, what's her face if they do, right?
They'd have to de-age her some.
They'd have to de-age her quite a bit, yeah. Or maybe they do it as like they do it in flashbacks or something and then do the crossover with young Ben.
Do you think in a live action way, Marvel and Disney or Disney in general ever crosses Marvel with Star Wars, like some kind of stunt one off?
Oh man. All right. How would they do this? This is a really good question. All right. How would they do this?
So, I don't know. Gosh dang it.
No, you know what? They can't because in Civil War, Tom Holland talks about The Empire Strikes Back and taking Giant Man down like they did the Walkers in that old Star Wars movie.
Okay, you're right. So they've acknowledged they live the universe. The MCU is
that Star Wars is a movie in the MCU.
Yeah, they can't. I don't think they can do it either. Like you can get away with this in comics all the time, like that Doctor Who TNG crossover, and you know you can do weird stuff in comics, but I don't think you can get away with it in live action like
that. Could you do it in Star Trek? Could you say Star Trek? I think. Tony Stark has ruined any possibility of a lot of these crossovers with the nicknames he's given people, right? Yeah. So we can't, you know, we'll never get a Point Break MCU crossover. We'll never get a...
All his smarmy talk has gotten him, painted him in a corner. We can't have these crossovers now.
Yes.
Transformers, there you go. Bring them over. We got it.
Yeah.
Transformers meet
please don't
X-Men Sentinels. I don't know.
Then I will be done with a Marvel, I think.
That'll be the last a Marvel movie you see.
Exactly. I'm done with a Marvel. Hey, you know fantastic. What so this is so cool. So yesterday, Tad Pooler, Mo Ginsburg. Ornos, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing their name.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, "Hey, if you ever see the On the Hook food truck come through Denver, you need to go and check it out. It's excellent."
On the Hook?
It's like, On the Hook. Yeah, it's like, okay, On the Hook sounds good. I don't know.
Can I predict, it sounds like fish, maybe? Some sort of fish?
It is fish. Yeah, I follow the website, and sure enough, it takes me to their menu, which is like fish and chips and wild cod, Alaskan cod, and chips, right? I mean, they literally have three things on their menu.
Yeah.
Fish and chips.
Yeah.
Extra fish. Yeah. Extra chips. It's like you walk up and basically they just say, "How many orders would you like?" They don't even do anything like outside of that.
Sure.
So I'm like, I'm at their website looking at things. Says, see when we will be in your area. And so I click over there. And it's like, they're in Wyoming and New Mexico and, Montana and bouncing around in all these different places. And then I says, Denver. When are you going to be in Denver? Because I click that and it gives like a little schedule of when they're going to be in Denver. Oh, May 18th at the Arvada 24-Hour Fitness until 7 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
And I look up at the calendar. It is May 18th. And I think, well, what the heck? I'm going over and getting fish and chips. It's like the most perfect timing.
Yeah, no kidding. How was it?
I'm going to tell you that I am going to keep their calendar on my like alerts list, and whenever they're in freaking Arvada, I'm going and getting fish and chips from them. It was fantastic.
Well, let's see.
Like, we had some good fish and chips in Ireland. We had the best fish and chips in Ireland. The best fish and chips.
The best. Yeah, never been better.
However, this is some of the best, like, good, not over breaded, crispy breading, thick fat French fries with it, chips with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Look at the photo.
Well,
yeah.
I have to wait until June. Sorry. Is this May? Yeah. I have to wait until June 12th, but they're going to be right up the road from me on June 12th.
There you go. Put it on your calendar, Scott.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. Yeah.
Like, I'm going. This is a weird thing. I've never heard of a food truck that travels around the country. It's weird, isn't it? A little weird. It's mostly West, but
this wide of Earth. Yeah, absolutely. I would think that it'd be, you know, we're in Colorado. We just have one truck in Colorado and it zips around all these other Colorado spots.
But yeah,
and maybe they do. Maybe they have. I'm sorry, battered, not breaded, Claire. Oh my gosh, she's going to have a heart attack.
Calm down, all Claire.
All those caps and question marks. My God.
Gin battered for her. That's how they do it.
Gin battered.
Batter with gin.
But I'm looking here, so they've got like they are coming to Utah on the 26th, so just next week. But it's Salem, then Logan, then Hurricane, then Cedar City. Like, it's way far from me, so I'm gonna wait till the 12th and do this. That sounds fantastic. So it was good then. Cool. You really liked it, is the point.
It was excellent. Yeah, like you said, when I see them coming back through Colorado, I'm going. It was damn tasty.
That sounds great. I'm not even like a fish and chips guy, but when it's done right. It's, you know, you can't deny it. You can't deny that.
No, can't deny that.
12th of June, fish and chips.
There you go.
Off exactly. The hook.
Yeah.
Or on the hook, rather. Because that's the whole thing. All right. Well, now it's written down, and now I will get it, and I will compare when we come back.
There we go. Yep.
But right now,
I did send the Crazy Neighbors, the Wisconsin Crazy Neighbors there last night. I said, you know, it was really good. They'll be the final decision maker, because, I mean, if anyone knows fish and chips here in the U.S., it's going to be somebody from Wisconsin. And
that's right.
They'll say, it was blah, blah, blah. It wasn't very good. Blah, 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 blah.
Proper cheeseheads need to weigh in on that went. All right. Check this out, you guys. It's time for this. Yes, that's right. Time to read this with Amy Robinson, Red Fraggle 3, joining us as she does every Thursday to talk about books we should read. Hello, Amy. Welcome back.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Pretty good.
We're good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I actually got some sleep last night, which is a departure from the rest of this week. So I feel moderately human.
I haven't slept at all this week. It's been a bad week for sleep. In fact, this morning, my goal this morning was, all right, Scott, you're tired, but you're going to get up. You're going to shower. You're gonna take the walk or take the dog for like a 30-minute walk. You're gonna
take the walk for a dog.
You're gonna take this morning by the shorties and give it what for? Nah, just kind of rolled out a little late and put on this shirt. Who knows I don't know how I smell today. Who knows? Whatever. Kim's gone. You just live like thieves while she's gone, and that's just the way it is. Carter, do some dishes while I'm down here, will you? Get that going.
Do you have the thing? I have the thing where, like, when Chuck is out of town, I don't sleep as well. It doesn't feel right. There's something not right.
You know what else happens is I'll wake up, like last night I sneezed really hard in the middle of the night because there's some allergies going on around here. And my first thought was, oh crap, I woke him up. And then I was like, no, she's not even in here. I could blare like heavy metal in here. She would not wake up. I could do whatever I want, but I don't want to. I'd rather have her here. I'd rather have her here to wake up, you know? Anyway,
right.
It'll be.
Meanwhile, tomorrow. She's like, she's sleeping great and going a floundering.
Oh yeah, she's fine. She's living and her accent came back.
A floundering we shall go. Yeah.
I gotta record with her for Skim before she loses it again, because I can hear her accent, like Southern accent, has come back kind of full swing every time she goes down there. So I got to try to capture some of that for listeners. We'll see if we can do it.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. I should call in to you guys sometime. Like, I should call my mom right before I do this segment or something, and then you guys can hear what my accent really sounds like.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to hear your full-throated Southern belle accent.
It's a thing.
Yep.
Yep. Well, I have two things. I need two little housekeeping things I need to mention.
Sure.
One is a couple weeks ago, I was talking about Terry Pratchett novels, and I had sort of mentioned that I had heard that there might be a TV adaptation of the Guards books, but I wasn't sure. Turns out there is.
Oh.
And I was correct that it's set in the modern day, but apparently from some friends of mine who are fans of Discworld, it is not bad. So they enjoyed it. It's on BBC America, which is why I don't have that. So I didn't know that it had come out. So correction there. There is, in fact, it's called The Watch is the name of the show. Mm. So check that out. If you like the Guards books.
Is it good? Is it well regarded, received?
I mean, like I said, I have friends who I trust who are fans of Discworld, and they said they enjoyed it. So, you know, I'm willing to, if I can find a way to get it, I'm willing to give it a shot. Because, you know, at one point years ago, Scott, you said a thing, and I've held on to it for a long time. It doesn't suck until it does.
Yeah, there you go. Nailed it. Well done. Yeah, how do you know?
So there you go.
How do you know until you know? You don't know, right?
Mm-hmm. So, exactly.
This new, look, I don't know if anyone heard, but, and I didn't even know about it. I don't know how this slipped under my radar, but, George Miller's about to put a new movie out, and I didn't even know he's working on one.
Mm.
And it looks insane amazing, and I can't freaking wait. It's called, hold on.
Babe 3, Pig in the Pasture.
I wish. Although somebody...
Pig on my plate.
Somebody did tell
Who
me
Who ordered the bacon?
Someone did say, this Babe 3 revival sure looks weird, is what they said. But it's called 3,000 Years of Longing. It's completed, and it's got Idris Elba, Tilda Swinton. Here's your summary.
Oh,
a lonely.
You had me at Idris Elba.
I know, and then I had you again at Tilda Swinton. She's great. Mm-hmm. A lonely scholar on a trip to Istanbul discovers a djinn. So like a, I guess those are like
D-J-I-N-N djinn.
Yeah, like those,
as opposed to a Claire djinn.
Yeah. That's all I think of when I say Jen, mm-hmm. who offers her three wishes in exchange for his freedom. What she wants is love, but can and should he grant it to her? That sounds like who knows what the hell all that is. All I know is George Miller's making a movie and the trailer looks crazy. So I'm losing my mind. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. But hey, that's one example of it won't suck until it does. So
right.
Exactly.
My husband always says whenever we see a movie or something and we're like, I heard this wasn't good. My husband always says, I hope this is the best movie I've ever seen.
There you go.
See, that's such a good positive attitude.
I agree.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, why would you go into an experience expecting it to be bad?
Yeah,
because right? Like then
your expectations are low, Morbius, and then you won't be disappointed, Venom 2.
Yeah,
sure. Oh yeah. Well, you can expect a thing. You'd be like, okay, you know, I'm here seeing, you know, some horrible, you know, I don't know, I can't think of a thing right now, but I'm seeing something that looks campy and dumb. I expect it to not be great cinema,
right. But
I can still hope that I have a wonderful time watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you probably will. Well, all right. It's good to have you here. Let's dive into these books this week. So you've got two files for me, but I guess one is the book and then the other is the thing that made itself based on the book or something. So.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and play the audiobook one, the one that's labeled audiobook. And then I'll tell you about it. And then, you know, you can decide if you want to play the other clip or not, like based on if we have time.
All right. Here we go.
I went into Dad's study and found his biography of François Rabelais. I liked reading biographies of writers, even if, as was the case with Monsieur Rabelais, I'd never read any of their actual writing. I flipped to the back and found the highlighted quote. "Never use a highlighter in my books," my dad had told me 1,000 times, but how else are you supposed to find what you're looking for? "So, this guy," I said, standing in the doorway of the living room. "François Rabelais. He was his poet, and his last words were, 'I go to seek a great perhaps.' That's why I'm going. So I don't have to wait until I die to start seeking a great perhaps." And that quieted them. I was after a great perhaps, and they knew as well as I did that I wasn't going to find it with the likes of Will and Marie. I sat back down on the couch between my mom and my dad put his arm around me, and we stayed there like that, quiet on the couch together for a long time until it seemed okay to turn on the TV, and then we ate artichoke dip for dinner and watched the History Channel. And, as going away parties go, it certainly could have been worse.
Well, that sounds like Will Wheaton to me.
Yes, it is Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
So this book is, it's another John Green book. It's called Looking for Alaska. This was actually his first book that he published. And the narration is done by Will Wheaton. So I get kind of a twofer because there is a TV series that goes along with this book. Now, I will say this is a young adult novel, but there's a lot of mature themes in it. So this is not for... You know, don't just like hork this book at your 12-year-old and tell him to go have fun. All right. Like, sure. There's a lot of drinking and, underage drinking and sex and smoking and that kind of thing happening. So,
sure.
Parental guidance is advised. Sure. But it is a really, really good story. I have a story about reading this book. It's slightly spoilery. So if you don't want a spoiler, like fast forward a little bit, but everybody knows when they go to read The Fault in Our Stars, yeah. Right? You know to have your tissues ready for that book, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're reading about teenagers with cancer. It's not a spoiler. It's going to be sad.
What?
So, you know what you're getting with that one. Yeah. So I read, that was my first introduction to John Green as an author. And I read The Fault in Our Stars and, of course, was weeping copiously. And I needed to just, like, jump into another book. And I thought, okay, well, his first novel, Looking for Alaska, that one, that'll be safe, right?
Yeah.
No. You need tissues for that one, too. And I'm not going to say why. I'm not going to be quite that spoilery. But, no, you definitely have the tissues ready for this book as well. And It was the middle of the night and I was doing the insomnia. I'm reading. And I got to a really page turny point in the book. And then I realized what had happened. And I texted my friend and I was like, what the hell is wrong with John Green? Why does he want me to bawl like this?
This sounds like books I need to make Carter read. Continue.
Yeah. I mean, they're great. But yeah, it is to be read expecting to, need some Kleenex. But it's great. And I recently found the TV show is on Hulu. That's the other clip I sent you. So if you want, we can play
that. Let's play that because I'm curious tonally what this is like. Yeah. So let's play the Hulu, you say, is where this is showing?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to play it real quick. Here we go.
I'm fascinated by last words. My favorite last words ever. I go to seek a great perhaps.
You must be the new roommate.
Welcome to Color Creek, Miles.
I call him Pudge.
Ah, the Colonel and his irony.
Who's that?
Alaska Young.
Alaska?
My reputation precedes me.
What's up, scrub? You grow the summer bud?
You have to excuse them, Pudge. They had everything in life handed to them.
Looks like we're going to war.
There has been an outbreak of pranks on campus. I hope you two are staying out of trouble.
Ooh, hot damn. I didn't think you could look any more handsome.
Simon Bolivar, you know what his last words are. How will I ever get out of this labyrinth?
What do they mean?
That's the mystery, isn't it? Which is he trying to escape? The world or the end of it?
I'm interested in those things, too.
Interesting. So what do they call this? What's the name of the show?
It's called Looking for Alaska.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Same. And John Green was an executive producer. So it's a pretty direct adaptation. There's some extra things in there because they expanded it out into a limited series. So there's some things in there that weren't in the book, but so far I'm not missing anything and they haven't really changed anything on me.
That's good.
Really good. The only thing I will say is that it takes place at this boarding school in rural Alabama. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy in it. They all call him the Eagle. He's, one of the teachers there. He's basically, his job is to catch them doing bad stuff. Mm. This dude lives in deep South Alabama and the guy they cast has no accent. There's no freaking way. That dude would sound like Hicksville. So that one, that little part of it is almost takes me out of it just a little bit, kind of like watching Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, you know, where he's the only one that doesn't have an English accent. But it's a really good book. It's a really good story. And so far, I'm only like 4 episodes into the TV show, but I'm really into the TV show as well. So I am quite enjoying. And Brian, you would probably like it for the music in it, because there are some fantastic covers in here. There's the episode we just watched last night had this really, really good haunting cover of that song Take Me Out, you know, the you don't know, you say, you know,
Killers, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it was this really great cover, and they did it like this in like a minor key, and the, you know, like a woman's voice. And it was very haunt. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a take on this song. That's really cool. So,
oh, very cool. I'm looking to see if there's a soundtrack. Looks like there's music.
Oh, we're being corrected. It's Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, I'm sorry, Franz Ferdinand. See, okay, I will say that is I always get those two confused. Damn it. And I've even seen Franz Ferdinand in concert, so there's no excuse.
But, they have similar sound, though, for the your credit.
They do. They came out right around the same time. Yes, thank you. Thank you, TV's Travis and Hank the Crab.
Yeah, Hank the Crab. That's Hank a great crab. Name. Hank the Crab, you're my new favorite name in the chat. That's amazing. I really like this
soundtrack with the covers on it. Sadly, it looks like. Oh nope, I take that back. Oh. There it is. Yep, Young Summer does that cover, and there's Modest Mouse. There's a cover of "I Will Follow You Into the Dark."
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that one yet because I love that song.
Yeah, this looks like it's a mix of originals and covers, but I'll be checking this out later. Nice.
The that Kristen Froseth, who plays Alaska, she's great. She's really good in things. I'm trying to think of the other thing I saw her in. It was something like the First Lady. What am I thinking of? The Society? Anyway, she's really good. So that's enough to make me want to check. Oh my gosh, she's my daughter's age. I'm old. Anyway, she's still good. She's good no matter what. But
what do you expect? She's in a YA, you know, young adult series on Hulu.
Yeah, it sounds like fun though. cool. Well, I didn't. And the book as read by Will Wheaton, also a good experience, I assume.
Yeah. I mean, this is one where I haven't consumed the entire audiobook, but you know, I typically like Will Wheaton's narration, so I would say yeah. I like this one for just reading it myself.
Yeah.
And I've read it a couple times. I do have to kind of prepare myself for reading this one, but it's worth it. It's worth reading. It's good.
Well, again, it's called Looking for Alaska. The 2019 miniseries is also available on Hulu, so you can catch that if you want to. And of course, the book and audiobook found wherever you find audiobooks and books. Very nice. Anything else going on for you before we see you next time?
Oh yeah. So Brian, I'm sorry. Yes. I ruined Guess the Connection last week. I have such a thing with games. I'm like, oh, I have to play the game, and I have to. I have an answer, and so yeah, I just.
You know what? It's totally fine. And again, I've got to compliment Chuck on being able to, like, he got it way quicker than I thought anybody would get it. So you didn't ruin it. You're absolutely fine. There's no, but it will cause me to put some new rules up on the Twitch overlay that I use. Yeah.
Well, next time, if I have won recently, I will text you DM what I think the answer is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll be like, okay, I know I can't win, but I want you to know that I got this.
Yes. You know?
Very, very cool.
No, but the person that we bequeathed the prize to still hasn't emailed me. So I still have those really cool prizes sitting here on my desk. And
little story.
I'll roll into tomorrow if I don't hear from them.
Yeah, a little bit of a redemption arc for you there, Amy there. I was going to ask you real quick. What was it? You threw me with that. Now I forgot. It was a question about a book, and now I don't remember. Damn it. Gosh dang it. All right. I'll remember it later. I'm between books right now, and it was a question specifically about what I'm doing next, and I can't remember what the hell I was going to ask.
Oh, okay. No. Start reading Discworld. Start and
is now the time? Start... Now this now is the time you're saying. I should
now
do this
is
now.
The time. Right. You should start with Mort. Start with a book called Mort.
Mort? Okay.
Yes. That M-O-R-T. That is my specific Scott recommendation for where you should start Discworld.
Is it about a guy who wears plaid or about death? Because those are the two things that I think of when I hear Mort.
It is about death. Yes.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, you know, the capital D death, like in. You
sure,
know,
sure,
so,
sure. Yeah.
I mean, if you've read Good Omens, it's a similar death character.
Okay.
You know, so
I have read. There, well, yeah, I've seen Good Omens. I haven't watched it, but I like the death character in Good Omens.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm wearing plaid, so I got half the Brian's deal done. I'll have
look at that. All right.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll start reading it. Okay, that's, you know what? That's as good as any question I would have had. So there you go. That's the book I'll read. There
you
next.
Go. That's my recommendation for you is if you need a book to read, go. Mort is a quick read, and it is a great introduction to Discworld. And that way, if you absolutely are like, ugh, I don't like this, then you kind of know Discworld isn't for you. But I know that there it's huge, sprawling universe, and so it's kind of intimidating. So I feel like it's good for somebody to give you like, okay, start here.
Sure.
Start with this one.
No, I like that. I like I like a little bit of direction with this sort of stuff. So thank you. And also, have a fantastic week. Make sure you look her up everywhere you want to look for her. She's Red Fraggle 3 on everything. And she's got a great TikTok account, so I recommend following that. Amy, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was cool. Beer. 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 All right, we're going to do one news story. It's going to be a good one, so sit back and... I know, one.
I don't watch the news.
It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville. We celebrate covers of songs that are now able to join AARP. Yeah, these are songs that turn 50 this year, and some of these songs may surprise you. Things like Doctor My Eyes by Jackson Browne. Who would have thought that was 50 years old? Or Tumbling Dice by the Rolling Stones, or Hold Your Head Up by Argent. Listen to the Music by the Doobie Brothers. Anyway, really good covers of all of those things. Suffragette City by David Bowie, for Pete's sake, is 50 years old. And David Bowie did predict Kanye West on the cover of that album that this is featured on. Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars does have a sign that says K West on it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Weird. Well, I'm mad at them, and now I don't want to talk to them anymore because he's weird. whatever. No, that sounds good. A good Coverville awaits all of you tomorrow at 1:30.
That's right. Yeah. Not tomorrow. Today, Scott.
Today. I mean, today's Thursday. Today, 1:30.
Today's Thursday. Today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville.
Yeah. Why did I say 1:30 and why did I say tomorrow?
I don't know. You'd like me to do this tomorrow at 1:30? I could change it if you really want me to.
No, totally we'll be in the middle of our play date. We can't have that. So forget it.
Oh, that's right. Play day tomorrow. Oh, can I? That's interesting. Can I do a Guess the Connection tomorrow? I'll make it happen. Yeah.
We're going early, so you should, right? Should be able to.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Real quick story. A mystery monkey in the news. Pretty excited.
Mystery monkey.
Yeah. Mystery monkeys are always exciting. This is in Borneo. They say it may be a rare hybrid monkey, and scientists are actually worried about it. So 6 years ago, tour guide Brendan Miles was traveling down the Kinabatangan River. Do you think that's right?
Sure.
Did I get that right?
I think that's exactly right. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel good about it.
Kinabatangan.
There you go. That's probably it. This is that river in the Malaysian part of Borneo. He spotted an odd-looking primate he had not seen before. He snapped a few pictures of the monkey. And then upon reaching home, check these images. At first, I thought it could be a morph of the silvered leaf monkey, meaning a member of the species with rare color variations. But then he noticed other details. Its nose was long, like that of a proboscis monkey.
Or proboscis monkey.
You know the kind with the weird...
With the very prominent proboscis.
Yeah, the Jimmy Durante looking one.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Uh-huh.
Ask your dead grandparents about that guy.
Ha-cha-cha!
My only connection to him is cartoons that made fun of him. That's it.
Totally, yep. It's exactly
growing up
right.
Watching Bugs Bunny on the weekend, you would see that guy once in a while.
The other connection you should have is... it's a mad world, because he's the guy that starts that whole thing. His car goes, like, he's the one that has the car accident and then says, "It's buried underneath the big W."
Oh.
And then he dies and everybody races off to go deal with
it. So this is where I admit I've never seen that movie. I know.
Oh, let me be the Scott to your Carter, okay, and tell you, you need to watch It's a Mad World. It is.
I'll do it. I just have never done it.
Oh, dude, this is like you're going to spend the whole movie going, oh, that guy's probably dead now. Oh, she's dead. Oh, they're dead. Oh, he's dead. Oh, she probably died right after the movie, Ethel Merman. But it's funny. Greg Verwachtman says the original. There was a remake unless you count Rat Race.
Yeah, Rat Race from my understanding, no, since I hadn't seen it.
True remake. I mean, it's similar premise and everything. Very similar premise, but
so like the Cannonball Run movies, are they in the same vein?
No.
Okay.
It's more like this is an actual staged race that people compete in. Mad World is, oh, this guy just said that there's a lot of money buried under a big W in Santa Monica. Okay, well, let's go on about our lives. But then everybody says, no, we're going to go. I just wanted to tell everybody that we weren't going to go after the money. And so everybody, like Buddy Hackett and the dude from the father from My Three Sons and Ethel Merman and Jonathan Winters. And I mean, it's such a great cast.
It sounds like a season of Love Boat. Is what you've just described.
No, it doesn't. Oh,
it does. Bite your all tongue. Of those,
this thing is so
all
much
those,
better.
All those guest stars, those are all Love Boat people. Every one of them.
They were like a very special guest star on Love Boat by that time, because they were the ones that were still alive.
That's true. All right, I'll finally watch this movie. I've just never. And everyone's
you might
always
actually
said
have to rent it. I'm not sure. I hardly ever see it streaming currently. Oh, you can stream it on Amazon Prime.
What?
There all you go. Right. Tonight. Are you doing core tonight? Damn it.
Yeah, I have core. And then tomorrow Kim gets home. So tomorrow's
find
good.
Some time to watch it with Carter, because she would love it too.
Okay. All right, Carter, did you hear that? Brian's
Jim freaking Backus, Milton Berle, Sid Caesar, Spencer Tracy, Mickey Rooney.
Well, you had me a Jim Backus.
Edie Adams.
Yeah.
Phil Silvers.
Yeah. Who else
Art,
you got?
Not Art Carney.
It sounds like he should be, though.
Well, now we're getting into the lower. Peter Falk, Norman Fell, Mr. Freaking Roper is in this. Now that's your Love Boat right there. That guy was.
Yeah, he's Love Boat for sure.
Stan Freberg, Don Knotts, Buster Keaton.
Jeez, Buster Keaton.
Carl Reiner.
Buster Keaton was alive.
Buster Keaton was alive. Jerry Lewis, Jack Benny, Doodles Weaver.
Doodles Weaver. Thank goodness I'm finally.
Doodles Weaver. And the
I don't know who that is.
Never. And the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra.
Man. All right. Well, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's so good. Yeah, it is. It's so good.
The point is, they found these monkeys that aren't supposed to be crossbred.
That was such a monkey hole. It wasn't a rabbit hole. It was a monkey hole.
We went down a monkey hole. But they're worried because they're not supposed to be hybrids of these two species. And they're concerned about what that could mean for stuff. So that's your whole story. That's the story. I like where we went instead. I'm much happier where we went. It's totally fine. Yes. Did far, you, by
far,
the way,
just to a far better place? Scott.
I just realized something. That girl that was in the Finding Alaska show that we were just talking about, she's in a show called, or she was in a movie called Prey. And then I was like, oh yeah, there's so many things called Prey. Video games. There's multiple video games called Prey. Everyone gets confused. And then I forgot. In summer 2022, this year, we're getting a movie called Prey, which is about it's the origin story of the Predator.
And it's
set around the world of the Comanche Nation. Yeah, and guess who directed that? Freaking Dan Trachtenberg directed that movie. I'm so excited.
That's way cool. Good.
Yeah, set 300 years ago, by the way.
He's that guy who did that that short featuring Portal.
Yeah, it's a Portal short.
That guy.
Yeah.
The Portal short guy.
He did the pilot for The Boys, I think.
Oh, did he? That's right. Yeah, he did. And then,
Cloverfield Lane. Yeah, he's great.
Which I thought was really good.
Dan's legit. He makes cool shit. That rhymed. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, my sister Wendy will be here. And I've got a really interesting topic today. So stay tuned for that. Before that, though, we need a song, and Brian brung it.
Sure. Let's look at David Knudsen. It's probably just pronounced. No, I think you do pronounce Knudsen.
I knew a Knudsen growing say up.
Yeah. Hey, this dude is from Minus the Bear, you know, one of that new crop of bands that has three words with the word the in the middle, Cage the Elephant, Young the Giant. Also from the band Botch. Really, he's got a brand new solo LP called The Only Thing You Have to Change Is Everything. This thing came out this week, or I'm sorry, last Friday. So it's out. If you like this song, you can go listen to the rest of it. This is so good, man. This is the song Varv, V-A-R-V, from the brand new album, The Only Thing You Have to Change Is Everything by David Knudsen.
All right, we'll see you on the other side.
As for you, there's two musts. You must be Jewish and care about it, and you must not smoke.
The Morning Stream. Lights, camera, Kong!
All right, we're back, everybody. Who is that again?
That was David Knudsen, and the song is called Varv, V-A-R-V, and it's really good.
We knew a kid named something. I don't remember his first name. Eric, maybe, Knudsen. And we all called him Knuts. That was his name.
Knuts. I love
it. Where are you guys going? Knuts' house. Okay, then what? Oh, well, if his mom's not there, we're watching RoboCop. Okay, cool. See you at Knuts' house. That's how I'd say it.
Nice.
There's a whole story for you. Let's get Wendy in here. See what's going on. Yeah. She's, you know, my sister. She's a professional. She's smart. She's S-M-I-R-T. there she is.
She's personable. She knows a lot of stuff.
She knows a lot of stuff. And really, that's what we're going to tap into today. Everyone knows it's Wendy. Look who it is. It's my sister, Wendy, a practicing therapist who calls all the way from Minnesota. Hello, Wendy.
Hi. I thought you said a practical.
You're practical as well, I think.
You're practical.
I'm incredibly practical.
Yeah. How does that feel? I don't do that. So how are you? What's practicality like? What's the deal there?
I'm actually not that practical. What am I?
Adam's very practical.
Boring. He is practical.
Yeah.
What does practical mean? Does it mean you just like do things that make sense?
Things that make sense. You use your surroundings to their best usage.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
It started out as a good way to put it, but
it used the word use a lot, and I respect it that. Did. But somebody who's like, well, all I think of it is like, you're not, okay, let me put it this way. Wendy's not afraid to bungee jump off a high building.
Sure.
But she would do all the practical things around it to do it. Does that make sense? So you're not like,
she'd do the research and say, all right, how many people have died doing this? And
sure.
And yeah.
Right. And you'd look
you
at it.
You guys are hilarious. That's not me at all. I would bungee jump off a building and do no research.
Really? I know. I mean, that's the one weird different
what
thing.
What we meant is you're spontaneous. And what we love about you.
Yeah, what we love about you is your spontaneity. And it's
okay, I would say maybe what you mean to be saying is that I am down to earth. That doesn't mean I'm actually practical or good at basic things. But I'm pretty.
Unless you're bungee jumping and then you're down to earth and then you're up to earth and then you're down to earth. And then you're up to earth.
Up to earth. And then you laugh and then they unhook you and then you do it again.
And you wet your pants a little.
Just a little bit of pee.
That's
right. Comes out.
That's gravity. That's nothing.
That's all good.
Well, it's good to have you a few inches from earth while we have this discussion today. So you got a contact from somebody. I don't know. Did you forward the email? I don't think you did.
I did, yeah.
Oh, let me pull it up real quick. I didn't see it this morning, so I will grab it fast.
Well, I said it 2 seconds ago because I'm not practical.
Oh, look how unpractical you were today. Wow. I'm very impractical.
Yeah, we take everything back that we said about you.
All of it was in jest.
It's spontaneous. That's all.
I don't see it at all. Which email did you send this to?
I used your Morning Stream one.
Oh, that's why. It's in. I have it filtered. Okay, there it is. This is super interesting. All right, so we're going to read this email, and then it'll make sense on the other side. Wendy will explain it. So here we go. Hi there, Wendy. I'm actually contacting you on a friend's behalf since, well, I'm a regular show listener to you, Scott and Brian. That is the proper billing, by the way. Wendy, mm-hmm. Scott, and Brian. That's how we like to do things.
That is the order that you should be saying our names.
That's right. Correct. Yeah. Says, my friend Emily has worked in residential caregiving for several years, having been a care manager, working up from DSP position over time. I'm not sure what that is, DSP? Direct suspicion penis. I have no idea.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I never heard that.
Direct suspicion police. Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
However, while she's considering going into school to learn to be a therapist in her own right, we've discussed some concerns and I wanted to get your professional opinion. So there are three things here. Number one, she's a professional that happens to be trans, and that's led to issues both from the current legal landscape and in the work that she does with clients, as you might imagine. Number two, she's worried about not being able to be detached enough to do the work because she very much throws herself into what she does in the name of helping others and has had mental and emotional breakdowns as a result of that. And number three, she's aware as a result of her own issues to work through. Would you suggest she look into therapy of her own despite apparently no one anywhere near local having an opening that's trans-friendly anytime in the next 8 months or so? Or would you have another recommendation? Thank you for your time and everything you might be able to offer this person on behalf of another person. I won't say their names. So that's interesting. If you had to guess, Wendy, how many people are, I mean, that's probably not even a percentage, but how many people in your line of work are like trans, but also in your business of, you know, of some form of like therapy or whatever? I think it's very common. Just curious.
I don't know.
Yeah, probably not much,
I don't
right?
know, but it's definitely a niche that needs to grow. So,
interesting.
But I don't know the number. I mean, there's definitely sort of LGBTQ plus friendly therapists that have good training, and, you know, they'll usually advertise that, right? Like that's something you can know about them and ask about. And so, you know, being able to find someone like that in a bigger city is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Easy being a relative term, because it's not easy to find anyone at the moment because everyone's booked.
Well, let me tell you something that came off the top of my head. I was thinking last night when you were telling me about this, you can tell me if this is, I don't know, where my head's at with this. It seems like let's say you were somebody seeking therapy, and you were either in the middle of transitioning or you just had transitioned or whatever, mm-hmm. or considering it, and you find out, there's this therapist who is not only skilled in these specific areas and coping mechanisms and all of this, but they're also trans themselves. That seems like a goldmine. Like, oh, sweet, I'm gonna have this direct connection to somebody with not only the knowledge and the know-how, you know, the wherewithal, but they've also been through this. They understand. They know who I am, and because they're doing it themselves. Some might see that as, how do I put this? Like,
it could be a benefit or a harm.
Yeah, not maybe a harm, but like you're already feeling like you're in a world that's hostile to you and your decisions. Mm-hmm. And they're hostile to who you are. And now you're going to go to somebody to try to work through some of that, who is also in a position in their life where people are hostile to them for who they are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it doesn't make them neutral. Well, that's not the way I'm looking at it. But like,
sympathetic or empathetic.
Yes. And that'd be I mean, they'll have the most empathy, mm-hmm. but is there an issue with, like, you're going to be, how do I put this? You're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. I can't think of a good analogy for this, but do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, is it okay?
So, yeah. Well. Okay. I'll put it in therapeutic terms. Like, so, the therapist's background should not matter. In fact, it poses some danger when it's exact same as your background, because therapists have to work pretty hard to not project their stuff on their client. So we have some words here. So one is countertransference or transference. So you think of transference. I'm transferring my feelings onto you, right? Countertransference is that your client comes in, tells about some trauma they've had, same trauma you've had. You are now picking up on their experience, and you're reactive or reacting to it, and you're not in your best sort of neutral state of positive regard towards the person, because they're triggering this sort of part of you, right? And so not that you can ever avoid any of that, because this is just humans talking to humans, right? But when you get very clear about what your lines are, like, I'm this or that, or I only work with these people or these different people, you're usually drawing a boundary about what you do your best work in, because you don't get triggered in that realm. A lot of therapists come from, you know, they're helpers, right? The residential caregiving is, there's an extension of, like, get more education. You're really good at talking to people and listening to people, and they feel better after they talk to you, you know? So you can see how you would, you know, progress from there. I've known lots and lots of women in my life who had no professional degrees, but were lovely people and very good listeners, and would say to me when they found out what I did, just, oh, I've always wanted to do that. Because it just kind of was a natural extension of some of their natural skills or gifts or whatever, right?
Sure.
And so you have caring people. You also have people who've been through some things, very commonly, because most people have been through some things, right? But maybe they needed help and they got help and that inspired them. Like, I have a friend who's an orthopedic surgeon. He was born with a club foot and, like, all sorts of physical challenges. And his buddies through his childhood were orthopedic surgeons, right? His life has been altered forever for good because of that. So that was a driving force, even when he make it into medical school twice. Like, he's there now, which is amazing, right? But that mattered so much to him, how they were treated. So sometimes you'll have therapists that came from that kind of background where they got good help, or they just feel called to it, or whatever it might be. No. So the actual, what I am and what I work with, that has to be dealt with by the therapist, which is really what the question this friend is asking and for her friend is this a good idea when, you know, she is trans, she's had all sorts of issues. It's currently a pretty scary time to be openly trans and have, you know, sort of the news every few minutes is something horrible. And, you know, you're just not sure what's up and down.
Yeah.
In that regard, to just jump right into, I'm going to do this and I'm going to help other people and not maybe have a good grasp on your own stuff. That's the concern I'm hearing from the friend is like, you know, is she detached enough to do the work? And I'm going to say right now, there's no such thing as detached enough to do the work. You have whatever triggers you and whatever doesn't. So I'm detached enough to do the work because this doesn't trigger me. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, someone coming at me with all my same stuff, that's going to trigger me. I can't detach from my own self. And so it's because you're not working with a robot. You're working with a human, right? Mm-hmm. But these very sort of obvious challenges that this trans woman is going to be dealing with. And then, you know, she wants to create it. Maybe she wants to create a niche for trans clients. You know, that's a great idea, but you can't do that. Just like any therapist shouldn't really do any of this without working on your stuff, right? So working on your stuff before is great. Often programs will have you do therapy while you're in the program. And, you know, just as much as the work you can do without having to work through it because your client brought it up, the better, right? Like you're just going to be a better professional if you can make sure you've gotten your own care. And that's true. I think if you've heard me talk long enough, that's true for parents. This is true for all the people, right? Like if you think of, I don't know, think of anyone recently doing a thing that you're like, what in the world? And it's so obvious from the outside how dysfunctional that response was or how dangerous or, you know, whatever it might be. I can tell you right now, they haven't done their work, right? They haven't figured out what was driving them or why that impulse was there or, you know, to some extent, most of us. And that's why people often will have something hard happen or they'll behave in a way they really are not proud of. And then they go seek treatment to figure out what in the world that was about, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just very common, very normal. I think if I could do anything, it'd be to normalize this. You don't have to be perfect to be a therapist, but you are going to have a much harder road if you don't understand yourself and deal with your own trauma, right? Because trauma is what usually is triggering, is the most triggering thing in therapy sessions. And so you're just going to have a harder time doing the work. And it may mean, like she said, I think it was number two, she does think in the name of helping others, throws herself in, and then has a mental and emotional breakdown as a result of it. That is not a great sign if you're going to spend day in, day out listening to people's challenges. Because you can... We call it vicarious trauma. Mm. You can actually be traumatized by the things that you're hearing. Mm. And you do build up some sort of calluses around some of that. But especially when it's not related to you, you can have empathy and hear it. But if someone, like say you lost someone in a very tragic way, and then you have a client come in and talk about losing someone in that same kind of tragic way, and you haven't done your work, this is going to turn into your therapy session, right? Mm. So... really getting, you know, feeling solid before starting school would probably be important. Now, the third point was a problem is finding a trans-friendly therapist who has an opening locally.
That's hard.
There's a need for her to work, right? Like you can see that there is a large gap in these services. And this is going to be true everywhere, unless you are in a big, big city, in even still. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I recently met a therapist. And what we normally do is exchange cards so that we can send each other referrals if we need to. And both of us are like, do not send me anyone. This, it's like the opposite now. It's like, don't, I'm not going to give you my card because I don't have any room. Everyone's burned out. Like, it's just, as you all know, from it, the various reasons. Mm-hmm. This is not a time to be starting up with a therapist if you haven't met one yet. It's hard. It's really hard. But I have a couple of suggestions. Okay. First of all, do you guys have anything to say? Because I'm on a roll.
No. Mm-hmm. Keep rolling.
No.
Roll okay. Roll like the wind.
This is an area that I definitely don't feel like I can contribute to.
Right. Yeah. Right. So number one, it is really important to find someone who is trans friendly. And there are going to be people who are trans unaware and, you know, capable of certain things. So I have a number of trans clients and I am trans aware. And I am doing my best, but I am not fully skilled like someone else might be. And so, you know, one client's going to do a full transition and I am just working on other things that are in my wheelhouse and they will, you know, eventually meet with someone differently for that transition thing. So I'm working on the underlying anxiety and depression, et cetera. Right. Mm-hmm. And then another one, we've worked together for a long time and, you know, lots of good things have gone into that and it's going well. But if I start to feel out of my depth or not really sure what to do, it's my ethical responsibility to refer them to someone else who is more qualified to do that work. So I'm the neutral to positive example. Like you could come to me and we'd work on some things and I would, you know, but there might be some education I still need to do. And I have to be honest about that. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's a spectrum here, all the way to people who are well trained and this is like a thing that they do and they're awesome at it. Great. All the way to well-intentioned folks who really can do more harm than good. And so especially when things can feel very suspect, right? Like just you're not sure.
It's a little bit like going to a bricklayer to learn how to do accounting. You know what I mean? Like just the wrong person for the wrong job. And I guess the hard part is, you know, there's an assumption. I guess I will admit there's an assumption on my part that if you are a working psychologist who's seeing clients all the time, that you're just kind of up on everything.
Yeah.
But that would be like saying every dentist has the latest equipment. And that's not always true. Yeah. Some of them are still jamming. Yeah, not at
all. And we have to do training all the time. It's, you know, most states it's 40 hours of continuing education over a 2-year period. And you don't think 40 sounds long, but it is when you have to do it. sounds long. You really should be upping your skills, but you may be hyper-focused on this and you can't study everything. Right. Yeah. Mm. And your practice could just be a different thing. And then there are folks who have agendas, and that's because humans sometimes have agendas, right? Mm. Like they're uncomfortable. They haven't worked on their own stuff regards to LGBTQ stuff. So they really shouldn't be seeing somebody until they are at a different place or that's just not a good fit for them because they haven't figured that out or whatever. And not everyone should be seeing everyone, right? Though we sort of often are like generalists because you have to be sometimes, that's not always accurate, like you're saying. But also just like that it's a vulnerable place to be, right? You're going to open up about how you're feeling about all these things. And so there's this concept of self-determination that, you know, you can understand. And when a client comes in, you have to meet them where they're at. And what's tricky is this has been a recent thing that's happened for one of my clients is just having someone be so supportive of her trans identity. She's just telling her what to do. You got to do this and this and this, and this is the only way you're going to be happy because their kid or their friend did it. Yeah. And that's not therapeutic or helpful. But even though it's supportive, it lacks that self-determination and like really letting someone be where they're at and help them as they go to where they want to be. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just as bad as, well, it's not just as bad, probably it's better, but it's also problematic in the other way of don't do that. You're going to lose your family, you know, basically parroting back society's prejudices and fears towards them.
Sure.
And so that's tricky. And this, I've said this a million times on the show, when you're looking for a therapist, is you got to click. So I get that this is a maze of nightmare there's no one to find. And then when you find someone, you have to click, like it's so frustrating. Mm. That's why a lot of people like CBT, because it's very like homework based and directive and like, you know, you're going to be able to work with your thought. You don't have to love your therapist all the time for that to work. Yeah. Like it can be really effective with your therapist being not your favorite. But there are definitely other versions of therapy where you really have to click. You have to trust them. You have to open up. You have to be vulnerable.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, right?
Therapy.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 All right.
And so this is going to matter. And so a couple of ideas on her third point, which is just, you know, yes, I would suggest she looks into therapy. And you might have to get creative about how to find it. So, and I've shared this resource on here before, but psychologytoday.com has a find a therapist search button. Pretty much every therapist is on it. I'm not, but plenty are. And it's because you have to like opt out of it when you do a bunch of continuing education. So a lot of people just have it and it's a good resource. And there you can read, it'll list anyone in your zip code that's available to you. It will show you if they are trans friendly or not. You can specifically search for that and do your best to find somebody locally. Now, because of telehealth and statewide licensing, there might be whatever state they're in, there might be someone they could see online that's still in their state who's trans friendly. That is probably the best bet, is to look for that. And then if there is literally no one, and this is risky because it is not the same thing as therapy, but there may be some type of coaching services that are trans friendly that can help you sort of work through some of this. I don't know how the depth of this stuff, and life coaches basically are trained to, if it's out of their depth, they refer on to therapists very quickly. So this really would be more about positive, it's kind of a positive psychology thing of like, how do we get you to your goal and that type of thing. It's not going to be dive deep into any of your trauma. But it may be helpful in the process of just figuring out if this is really the work you want to do. But my first, that's the desperate part. There is some resources there, but the key really will be finding someone within your state, which is now an option that wasn't sort of 2 years ago. Therapists were not doing online, and now many of them still do it. And so that is an option to find someone not so local, but that is trans friendly. So that's what I would suggest. And, you know, just to boost her career chances of being successful and balancing these things is to get help first would be really helpful. It sounds like she starts the program in 8 months.
Yeah. According to the way their email reads.
Yeah. So that's some good time to do some good work. And then school will trigger a bunch of stuff and we have to work through that then. And, you know, that's part of what grad school for this actually is a lot of that self-work. So, you know, she'll get lots of practice at this and it'll help her decide if this is what she wants to do.
Yeah. I know maybe this is a strange thing to say. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. So I'm just going to say it. If I had a therapist, I don't have therapy right now, but if I did, and you know, Wendy's always saying everybody should have therapy. So maybe I should, but not in any kind of therapy or anything. But if I did, is it weird that I would love it if I had a trans therapist? Is that a weird thing to say? Because the reason I'm saying that is I think I like that. To me, there's a wealth of experience there that I don't get from just some vanilla therapist. It's somebody who understands a lot more about a lot more stuff than you're, it's a weird assumption, I know, because you're all real smart. Don't get me wrong. All you practicing therapists out there, all you psychologists, even psychiatrists, you're all brilliant. Okay. But for some reason, I want somebody with some,
who's been through some things,
been through some stuff, because I feel like then I'm just in awe of them almost. It's like, wow. Not that I need them to be on a pedestal, but I mean, like, not only am I talking to somebody who understands all this human behavior stuff, they understand how the human mind works, they understand all the blah, 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 and they're going to know how to help me, but they've really had to learn how to help themselves too. There's something about that for me. Is that a weird thing? Or is that not weird?
No. Okay. I mean, no, and everyone's different. Like, someone else might have the exact opposite feeling of, like, I want someone who has their life looks like it's really functioning well, so I can, like, get that energy. Yeah. or I want somebody who, so for example, it's really difficult sort of on a general level to find a Black therapist. And there's a really cool, foundation. If anyone has some money they want to donate somewhere, that does some great stuff. It's the Loveland Foundation, and basically it's to help support Black therapists in their training, and then providing scholarships essentially for Black women to have access to that therapy. And that's because that worldview, you can't replicate it. You can't get it. There's no way to empathize with that in a particular way that sometimes I think people might need. And then there's some times where your empathy is sufficient, right? So I had a good friend with, had a sort of really terrible medical thing happen and became disabled in her mid 20s. And, you know, tried a bunch of different therapists to just sort of figure out how to live a new life. And it was difficult. The matching up was very difficult. And the one that finally clicked with her was a guy who went blind in his late 20s.
Oh, geez.
And so, and the line to get into him was like a million miles long. Mm. Because A, he was very good, but he was very good because he dealt with his stuff, did his own work, and then that was an asset. And that can be the same thing for this person, right? That it's either a hindrance or an asset if you come with too much stuff. But you have to put it in order, and you have to know what it is, and you have to be able to work with yourself so that you don't make your therapy for someone else about you or your issues or your agenda, usually unconsciously, right? Like, it's very rare anymore that anyone's just like, you know, I'm going to go out there and make someone not gay or not trans or not whatever. It's not that at all for the most part. I mean,
well, there's also, also a tendency, I think, for people to see what you and others do and go, well, they're almost like robots. They've got it all figured out clearly, or why else would they have this job? And that's crazy to think that, right? Because you're all human beings, and you've got your own, you know, tendencies, weaknesses, strengths, whatever. And you may have a big toolbox of coping mechanisms that you can now share and stuff, but it doesn't mean that you don't need them. In fact, what's that, Brian, what was that HBO show that was so good with, Irish actor in therapy? No.
Griffin or not, or Gabriel Byrne in Treatment.
In Treatment. Mm-hmm. In Treatment,
and then
was,
they came back and did one with Udo Azubo from Orange is the New Black.
Oh yeah, I never saw the new one. I meant to do that.
The new one was really good too. Yeah. Followed exactly the same format.
I really liked it because there was these the parts where Gabriel Byrne would have to go talk to Diane Weiss, his therapist. Yeah. Was this like, oh, right. This is how you deal with stuff. Like, you've got your own things. In his case, I think, what was it, like a divorce or dealing with his kids or whatever it was. Yeah. And it's just so easy on the outside to see this. I do this with doctors, too. I think a lot of people do it with doctors and professionals of lots of types, but especially those who deal with, like, human beings. So whether it's your mental health or your physical health, you see them and you just think, well, they're obviously 8 levels above everyone else. They went to school for 10 years to do this. Like, they must not be able to do anything wrong. Well, of course they can and do, or just mistakes or whatever. And I think that's an important part of this. For whatever reason, I think it's important anyway that we at least acknowledge that, you know, these are people.
And people, sometimes therapists go on vacation. So everybody, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. It's like a teacher a little bit. Like, they live in the school. They need to not be outside of the school.
Yeah. They just exist there.
And part of that is because when you're really relying on someone, and for a period of time, sometimes it's that therapist is like helping hold your life in their hands, right? You're incredibly vulnerable to them. And when that's the case, sometimes we need that perfect person to be kind of perfect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's understandable. And then here's where it's tricky, is that therapists and doctors also know this and have also thought of doctors and therapists this way. So there is a huge pressure to know all the answers, which is why sometimes people can do work out of their scope, because they want so bad to have the answers and find the answers and work hard to get the answers. It's not usually because they're jerks. It's usually because they're just really trying to help everyone, because they're supposed to know. And they're supposed to be able to do it, and they're supposed to be okay. Yeah. Which I think the pandemic was a great little lesson, especially for me, of like, oh, what happens when I'm in the same pandemic as my client?
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah. You don't have to live in some rarefied air where there's no pandemic where Wendy lives. It doesn't work that way. Everybody has COVID.
And sometimes we'd be talking about homeschooling our kids while, you know, Pete's outside my office door, hot glue gunning his hand to, I don't know, something on fire. And I'm telling my client about it, and I'm like, oh man, should I pay you? I don't know whose therapy this is right now. Like, yeah. It was really difficult to figure out that line, and I had to just stop reading stuff and paying attention so much to news and things, because I was just like losing my capacity to not be traumatized myself, you know. Yeah. It's really hard. And so that's why therapists need therapists, and that's why therapists need colleagues to work it out through, and, you know, talk through cases and, you know, all those different things. And everyone's at a different place in their training too. So it's like, I wish we could, you know, you can still be helpful, but also infuse a lot of compassion with, you know, everyone's growing and figuring things out. And so this friend of this emailer maybe end up being fantastic at this. Right now, looks concerning, right? Like, you know, whenever she's really helping others, she has emotional mental breakdowns. That does not seem like a good idea. And so it's that, you know, where she is at this moment is not where she will be after 2 years of graduate school and 4,000 of supervised hours and, you know, working in clinics and with people and doing her own work. It's going to be a very different place. That's a lot of stuff ahead of you. So, you know, support and having people with you as you do it is going to be important too.
It's nice having this friend reach out for this person.
Yeah,
it's really cool to see that kind of support. So, I don't know. I think you're on the right track. And I think it was a good discussion today about what to do and how to do it. And also, if I could I would like a black gay.
Category.
Black, gay, little person.
Trans.
That's trans.
I want, that's the therapist that I want. Someone who's been through it all and come out
she is
on the other side.
Until 2026. Sorry. Yeah.
And she'll be like, excuse me, heterosexual white guy. What do you need?
I know. Look, I will fully copy
you. Have problems with combo meals? Darn. Let me see if I can help you with that.
Yeah, seems pretty lame. But whatever. Anyway, sorry, you were going to say something, Wendy.
Now I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
That's so easy to get me to forget things. Just say something else.
That's what happens to me. I had a question earlier for Amy when she was on for her book segment, and I forgot what the crap I wanted to. I still don't remember.
What do I even do?
Yeah, what do we even do?
I have a question generally, and I would love an email about this if somebody wants to divulge. Just generally the burnout people are experiencing.
Yeah.
And how, again, like the global experience of a pandemic, right, was just such a fascinating social experiment. And
it might be fascinating again, please, since the numbers
more.
Are right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like the sort of the winding down aftermath of this is interesting in some of its global application as well. And just the numbers are showing it in lots of different ways. But just my anecdotally, there's not a client I have who's not a little burned out, and everyone I know. And I just wondered if there's, you know, someone want to talk through, and we could get into what are the actual symptoms of it, because it's not just burnout from work. Mm-hmm. I think we always think, oh, I'm burned out from work.
Yeah.
I'm burned out from taking care of kids all the time. I'll just switch work. Right. So that's kind of been one of the things people have done in the past. They just switch it up and then they feel better or whatever. But I think it's,
it doesn't work. I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't work for everybody, but there are people I know who, myself included, like, you're like, oh, I just need a couple days away. And then you do a couple days away and you're like, that didn't really help, because all I did was think the whole time about this other thing and I still feel burned out. So it's like a different kind of burning out. It's like a,
it is
existential.
So I'd love
burnout.
To have someone's take that we could kick off from, and we could
talk about. I would as well. So if anyone out there has any thoughts on that, send those in themorningstream@gmail.com. In the meantime, make sure you bookmark realsteps.org. Not currently taking new people, but when it does, you're going to want to have that handy. And
yes. And if you have, I promise we won't email you many times, but if you want to sign up, get on our email list. We're going to send something out in the next week or so that's
some previews of some different things we're doing, and we'd love people to, we're actually going to interview a few people if anyone's willing, and you don't have to have already participated in Real Steps. We'll interview some people who have, of course, and then we want to, you know, see if anyone outside is willing to just talk just their sort of thinking and what has worked for them and not in the past, and just sure. a little market research if anyone is bored. I know everyone's bored and burned out. Don't you want to talk to me about
not bored, but definitely burned out?
Yeah.
So, that feeling of like, I wish I was bored. I would love to be bored. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that anymore. I've lost the ability to be bored. I don't know how to do it. I want to. I've tried. Yesterday, I was like, you know, I'm going to sit in this chair in the sun for a while, and I'm just going to try to be bored. I couldn't do it. Yeah. I couldn't be bored. I still had lots of ideas and lots of things, lots of stuff, and I was just still like, you know, the time went too quick.
Ooh, I could make that. Ooh, I could draw that.
Yeah, it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's too much. I need boredom. All right. Doesn't happen. Anyway, well, it's always good to hang and chat. I hope that I hope Peter's not glue gunning anything to anything. That seems bad.
He's making his own greenhouse now, and I said, hey, can't we just buy a little one? And he's like, no, I need the glass, and I need a glass cutter. And I'm like, okay, no, what?
He's gonna retire. He's gonna retire you guys. He's gonna be the one that does the most amazing stuff, and you guys can just like easy street it for your golden years. Right. I'm telling you.
Yeah, right. If I could get him out of a house and to school in time.
Just glue gun him to a school bus and you're set.
Yeah, you're all set. There you go. I don't know if it'll adhere that long. Hopefully. Don't sweat. Just tell him don't sweat. It'll be fine.
Don't sweat. It's fine.
Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time. You too. Bye now.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay. See ya. All right. There goes my sister. She's off. She's out. She's off. She's in. She's out. All right. So, programming note.
Yeah.
No PM edition tomorrow. Instead, we're doing an AM. Well, not AM. A noon edition.
We'll turn into PM. It'll be instant PM.
Instant PM for some of you. I guess if you live on the East Coast, it'll still be morning, or West Coast rather. But we are starting a play date at noon tomorrow. And I think probably, I've been getting a lot of people poking me about Among Us. They just want to get back in there. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
Among Us, sure.
I love playing that with you guys. So please bring it in. So anyway, that'll be tomorrow noon right here at frogpants.tv if you want to watch it live. And Brian, remind them again about your Coverville plans today.
Yeah, Coverville today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville. Songs, covers of songs that turn 50 years old today. And like I said, I put on a playlist while I was riding yesterday of 1972 hits. I'm like, oh my God, that song's 50 years old. Oh, that one's 50 years old. But the good news is I've got great covers of all of them, so that'll be coming up today. 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville.
Coverville.
Excellent. Coverville.
In the meantime, help us out over at patreon.com/TMS. We are halfway through this month and heavily directed toward the June month, so get out there and get it done. $1 a month is all you'd have to get in to be a, you know, a baseline a supporter, and it's really nothing, like a buck
can't
a month.
Can't beat that. It's
like,
easy.
In this world of like hyperinflation, look at what we're doing. Keeping it real, man.
Exactly.
Get in there for $1, even though everything else costs way more than that. Patreon.com/TMS. Everything else is at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian has music. Play your music, please.
I have music. Play my music. Okay. All right. Matt wrote in, said May 22nd is my 40th birthday. He's not a patron. So he, normally this might be a Friday PM song.
Oh,
but
I see.
He's not a patron, so he wouldn't hear it anyway. But we don't have a Patreon TMS PM tomorrow anyway. So blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Anyway,
May 22nd.
There you go.
Well done. And May 21st marks my 4-year anniversary of being cancer free. I'm a bagpiper. Sorry. And I would love to hear a cover with bagpipes. If not, anything Scottish or Irish would be great. Listen to Claire, for example. It would be just fine with me to play this anytime in May. I'm not currently a patron, but I listen to every show available for free, and I have since the beginning. Thank you, Matt.
I love the emphasis on I do it all for free.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I don't support you in any way. Play a song for me. I'm just kidding, Matt. Happy birthday, and we love you. All right, this is great. There's a band that I follow that I love called the Red Hot Chili Pipers, and they are a bagpipe band that does, as you might guess, covers of pop songs, not just Red Hot Chili Peppers. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I've got a cover by them of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. However, I do have this great one right here. What they do, by the way, is they mix in traditional Scottish jigs and stuff in with the covers that they do. So, for example, this cover you're about to hear of Everybody Wants to Rule the World combines the Tears for Fears song with a song called The Bung. The Bung.
The Bung. Sweet.
The Bung.
Yeah.
Which, as we learned yesterday, is, what was it? It was like a law firm or something?
Oh, the law firm.
They were suing. It was the bald guy getting sued because his boss called him the C word.
Oh, and they worked for some Bung Corporation or something.
They worked for the Bung Corporation, yeah, whatever they do. Yes, exactly. Listen, when you work with alcohol, when you're a distiller or a winemaker, the cork that you put in the keg, I believe is called the bung.
That's the bung. Okay. So when you say something got all bung,
and it plugs the bung hole.
So when you say something got bunged up, you mean it got the hole's been the bung hole.
Yeah. Okay. The bung, the cork has been lost.
Yeah. That's what the bung. Yeah. All right. Cool.
It's been bunged. It's been bunged up. All right. Yeah. Red Hot Chili Pipers from the album Octane from 2016. Here's the cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
See you guys at Playdate and the rest of you on Monday. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Let's be really honest.
No.